You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hour number 3, we had Tony Barnhart on the last hour. Kyle Whittingham started us off, and we are off and running here for the second half of the program. There's some news to report from Pete Thamel, and this is an interesting shift of perspective. The CFP Board of Managers had a meeting the other day, and they're discussing the restructuring of the CFP, in other words, taking total ownership away from the NCAA. A lot of this has been expected. Let's move on to the calls, and Cletus, or Cletus, I never really understood which one it was. Is it Cletus or Cletus?
It's Cletus, but you can just call me Cleety if you want. My friends call me Cleety. How you doing, Paul?
Cleety, we are doing great.
Yeah, so I wanted to start off today talking about the comments that Nick Saban made about Alabama being in a rebuilding year last year. And, you know, I just find that comment very, very ignorant from Saban. I'm a UGA fan. I'm from Macon, Georgia, and I just find that very, very ignorant from Saban to say that after losing in the national championship to UGA. Seems like an excuse. And, you know, I think the Dogs could really, you know, take it back.
No, Cleety, I gotta push back. Being a Bama boy, you know, how can you say Nick Saban's making excuses? He doesn't do that.
I mean, I see what you're saying.
Nick Saban's Nick Saban. You're not allowed to criticize him.
Right. No,
Cleety, if you're going to watch this show and be a fan here, you know the rules. No criticism of Saban, or he will get upset with you.
You know, and that's fair. You know, I'll gladly have a conversation with him about this. I believe that we are going to take it to him again.
Really?
In the SEC championship.
No, I mean, there's no way. No way. You're not serious about that, are you?
What, UGA making it to the SEC championship?
You really think you're going to beat Nick Saban again? Nobody does that.
I know. But, you know, Kirby and Jimbo broke the curse this year, beating, you know, as an assistant, beating Saban. And, you know, I believe that they're going to be on the decline for, you know, not a decline, but in Alabama standards, maybe a little decline this next year, you know, and last year.
Well, Cletus, I have to do this. You sound like a really good guy and a good caller, but we're going to suspend you for a week for criticizing Nick Saban.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I'll be calling around 5 p.m. Eastern on next Wednesday.
Okay. Now you can appeal that. There's an automatic appeal, and it will be heard by Legend and Larry from Shelby.
And can I take that up with Saban himself as well?
Yeah, and if they allow you, you can call, and we have Saban's number, a cell phone number. We'll be happy to give out on the air. Man, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I tell you, you can also use this caveat with Cletus. If something like that does happen, you can always look at Larry and Legend and Coach Saban and say, it's a rebuilding year.
Yeah, give me a few seconds to recover from that criticism of Nick Saban. Because that was pretty tough to deal with.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny. I'm sitting here watching your commercial, you know, your lead-in, and there's no Coach Harsin. But in the beginning, Nick Saban's running on the field, and he's kind of got that light, young, 35-year-old looking hair. But you, when y'all show his press conferences, he's got that tie-dyed look going on, and it's real dark, Paul. It's real dark.
Now,
and I don't understand why
Are you telling me we do not have Harsin in our lead into the show?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And you know what even shocks me more? You don't even have Jimmy Raines in the
Well.
And you know, you just got to throw the love everywhere the love goes. Is that right? Love goes where Rosemary goes or whatever it went.
That was a good song, by the way.
Yeah, I guess it was. It's, you know, pop radio was pop radio. And unfortunately, it was pop radio. Now, yesterday I'm listening. And the guy that said he wanted nothing else to do with you, didn't want to be in none of your books or anything, he milked up his Yankee collar. I like the way he refers to the Yankees. But his best ally is a guy from Ohio. And Jim comes back. He never is really totally humble in the way he comes back, because somebody else said something that made him say something. And of course, I didn't really say it that way. When you did, Jim, you said you quit. Now, he's done quit twice since you and I had a little tete-a-tete. And now he's come back, and he needs everybody's moral support to just kind of go up there and accept. Go up there and accept. Be the man. Be the man. And he comes in like a complete fraud always. Always a complete fraud with a big F. Have a good day.
8C in Canada is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know what Mr. Ice Cream Man is talking about. I'll be honest with you. That was a great call from Jim from Tuscaloosa. Jim, if you like, I could be your advisor or the wise man. I could be your wise man if you want to. I'm just putting it in there. Because, again, if my brain splits, I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm trying to be nice. In Canada, they're treating me nicely, so I want to be nice. Mr. Feinbaum, let me ask you a question. What are the odds Larry and Shelby is going to drink about 100 to 140 alcoholic drink, like Bud Light, et cetera, et cetera? What are the odds he's going to drink about 140 of them this season when he watches his Alabama Crimson Tide? Do you like that number, 140?
No. Now, you, what are you suggesting with that statement?
No, I'm not suggesting anything. Didn't he chuck down 7 Bud Light yesterday? So I just have to do some math. My understanding is he's going to drink about 4, probably 6 of them in one game. So it's like each quarter, probably he might drink 2, probably 4. So my calculation, to be on the safe side, I think he's going to drink in total of 140 alcoholic drinks, like Bud Light, beers, whatever. I think that's what he's going to do for 15 weeks when Alabama is on TV. Do you agree with me or no?
I don't think that is really possible. But he said once he has consumed as many as 25 Bud Lights in a day. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, well, you know what, Paul? This is not going to be as upbeat. I got a lot of compliments from upbeat Kyle yesterday, even Timmy Brando. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something, Paul, and this is the way you know me. I'm going to speak out. You got the worst suck-up, sycophant fool, and you give him all this time. I'm talking about the monkey from Montgomery. Lies his you-know-what off about me, attacks me every day. But I want to tell you something. You know, me and Squirrel get along good, man. We talk on the phone and so forth. And Squirrel asked me, he said, I want to see if you'd go for this. Of course, you know I didn't. He said, yeah, let me tell you something, Jim, just privately between you and me, just between us little girls, you know. Squirrel, our man wanted me to ask you, would you get together with him and me? And he wants to talk to you and talk like he wanted to say something nice and try to prove to you he doesn't hate you. And hey, Paul, how about that? You think I went for that? Huh? You really think I went for that?
No.
Well, I guess you're not going to say anything in return.
Well, Jim, I found his call to be ridiculous, but that's just a personal opinion.
I know it is, but somebody told me, I didn't hear it, but somebody told me today, said Paul was very rude to the monkey. I said, well, it should have been rude to him for the last 10 years. He should have cut him. He's worse than that moron IAC from where he's from.
Those calls are
just, you know, I know they stir the pot to the moron crazy people, but that's a waste of time, Paul. That guy, he's a liar. He's a psychopath. He's a psychopathic redneck, like I told you 4 or 5 years ago. That's what the monkey is. Nothing but a stinking, ugly, nasty fool. I bet you went in his house and saw how he dressed and how he looks. It'd be trashy as you know what.
Well,
just
Jim,
like
I've been around him a couple of times. You know that. You've heard me say it.
Well, I know. And he looks like trash to me.
Well, the one thing that I've objected to is the one time that one time we were together, we were in Tuscaloosa being interviewed by the Daily Show, and he wouldn't be quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, he has an inability to turn his mouth off.
Well, he's rude, Paul. He's just outright rude. He's just obnoxiously rude, belligerent. He's just a waste of human flesh. And that's a fact. And you know it, but you ain't going to say
it.
Well,
but Jim, that doesn't sound like a good Samaritan thing to say.
That's a fact, though, Paul. I don't care what you think. That is a fact, what I just told you. That's a fact.
That he's a waste of a human being? Is that what you're telling me?
He's a waste of human flesh. That's my opinion.
A waste of human flesh.
Yes. In other words, he's horrible. He's worthless. I don't even think he's got a soul, Paul. Really, you know, the Bible indicates that maybe some people that are horribly evil, like he is. He's evil. They don't have a soul. They don't have
now,
a soul.
Now, Jim, hold on 1 second.
I need
some help here because you're a man of great knowledge.
I'm a man of some knowledge. You're right. Go ahead.
How do you know whether someone is soulless and evil?
I don't know, Paul. I don't know. I'm just saying if anybody is in that category, in my opinion, your monkey suck-up sycophant, psychopathic redneck from Montgomery is in that category. Does that make it clear what I'm saying?
Now, you say that, and you've described him as a psychopathic redneck, which is interesting. What has he done that has tipped you to this other than...
Oh, you know what he's done. What he did while ago on the radio every day, saying nasty lies, talking trash about me. You know that. Yeah, that makes me angry. Wouldn't it make you angry, Paul?
Well, yeah. I mean, I hear a lot of trash said about people. And
why are you objecting to me what I'm saying about that fool?
No, I'm not objecting. I'm just trying to get clarification because I'm really hung up on...
You got it. Hey, Paul, I can't make it any plainer than I've made it.
I'm just trying. One thing you said I'm trying to understand better is the definition of a psychopathic redneck.
That's just what he is. He's a redneck.
Now my question, and Danny maybe can answer this, in terms of playing redneck poker, is a psychopathic redneck worse than a sociopathic redneck?
Hey, I don't get around either one of them, Paul. You got more experience around them than I do. You deal with them, well, some of them every day, especially him. You deal with him every day.
Yeah,
you ought to be an expert.
Well, I am. I don't. I mean, I don't know if I'm an expert or not. I have a lot of experience.
I know.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called in. We needed you today.
Well, thank you, Paul. I just happened to get in the car and turn on the radio from the grocery store, and there was that sycophant running his lying mouth about me again. Because I've got more real estate on him in his brain than Trump has in real estate value.
Oh, well, that's a good comparison. Hey, thank you, Jim. We're up against a break. We're coming back much, much more of the show in case you were thinking about turning it off.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, Brand name treatments like Viagra or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And back to the calls we go, and Squirrel is up next.
You know, Paul, I've never liked to blow my own horn or anything, but, you know, the past few weeks I've kind of been playing Henry Kissinger behind the scenes, in case you don't know. What everything Jim said was true. I-Man expressed interest in having a conversation with Jim after Jim declared he hated him.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, again,
this is breaking news. Get the CNN breaking news Chiron to put on the screen.
It gets pretty funny. I mean, if you want me to tell you, I will.
Yeah, of course.
Boring out. Okay, well, he expressed interest, and I didn't just hang up the phone from my man and then call Jim. It was about a week later, and Jim seemed to be in a good mood, and he and I would just chit-chat, and then I said, Jim, because I've always had regrets, and I've never talked about this. Because I was scared I might get emotional, but I've always had regrets since Tammy passed, because you and I used to have some fun at her expense. You remember that?
Oh, sure.
We would have conversations that to literally draw her out to get her to call in. And I never had opportunity to tell her that it was all in jest. You know what I mean? And I've always regretted that. And that's one reason why I reached out for Jim a while back, to let him know, regardless of what happened, that, you know, things we said was in jest, you know, with this radio show, in the spirit of that. But and I thought I-Man wanted to kind of extend the peace branch the same way. And then the next day, after I approached Jim with that, Jim said, let me think about it. He said, let me think about it. And the very next day, I-Man just called in with a blistering anti-Jim call. Jim said the same thing I-Man when he said to Jamari the other day. You know what I mean? So he negated that three-way phone call right there. But I was trying. I was trying to be like Switzerland. You know, I'm trying to broker peace with the ranks here, believe it or not.
Well,
you know, I just get tired of boring callers like Legend.
Yeah, well,
and AC,
you know,
and
I think you are. You ought to be commended, and I really like what you said.
Well, thank
because.
You.
I think, you know, Tammy affected everyone in different ways. I'm surprised, though, let me ask you one or two questions. How long ago was this detente conversation proposed by I-Man?
2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so in spite of all his rhetoric and his hate, he was trying to get Jim to ameliorate that situation.
He was extending an olive branch, yeah. I think, to, again, you know, to put everything in context, let's put it that way. Because I don't think anybody literally hates anybody on this program. I mean, we may act like we do at times, but, well, I mean, who would hate someone over a damn radio show? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. It's a fair question.
I mean, seriously. But thanks for taking my call.
Hello. Thank you very much. Well, that's I think that's significantly important breaking news there. Probably the biggest news story we've had on the show today. Miss Pat is in Georgia.
Hello, Tom. I called to compliment Jim because I heard his call yesterday. I thought it was great. Jim always tells it like it is. You know where you stand with him, love him or hate him. I mean, he has a good heart. He loves your program, and I love what he brings to it.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about Jim, I mean, he does spit it out, unlike some people who try to play games and old Southern rock songs.
Yep. Well, like I say, you always know where you stand with him, and he tells it like it is, and I do believe he has a good heart.
Well, that's important. What's more important than having a good heart, especially Putnam is up next.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing?
Putnam, we are doing great. Thank you.
Great. I was just going to make a statement. I've been in law enforcement for 30 years, and our department would give us hazardous pay because of the people we have to deal with. I was wondering, do you get hazardous pay for the people you have to deal with?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Putnam, and the answer is no. I get paid the same whether the callers are nice or not, but I'm curious, how does that work in the law enforcement industry?
It was basically due to the stress of the situations we're in with people harming themselves and then, you know, possibly harming you. So just to get the people to go into law enforcement, they give them hazardous pay.
Putnam, are you still involved in the industry?
I retired a couple of years ago.
I am curious about something because it's so easy to be critical of everybody's profession, but I really cannot imagine how your own mental wellness or mental well-being could exist when you're dealing with what you had to see every day. How did you deal with that?
Well, basically, just talking to individuals like some of the guys I work with, we would just get to the side and just talk things out. Just to let you know, I never had any health problems until I got into law enforcement. And then I had strokes and seizures and things like that. And it's all due to the stress that a police officer goes through.
I can't imagine. And I don't know, Putnam. And nobody can say they understand what somebody else is going through. It's all easy to say. But, I mean, you don't know what's behind any door. You never do that. And that's why you have to be so well trained. But I give my hats off to you and all of your colleagues for having to deal with something like that. How are you spending your days now that you've retired from that?
Mainly just spending time with my wife and the grandkids, and then, you know, go back to the department as often as I can and just, you know, talk to those guys. But mainly just spending time with the family means a lot.
Well, that is a great story. I'm so glad that you are doing that, because too often and I wonder, tell me this, because I know some people that are on the other side of that. What I mean by that is they're the spouse of a law enforcement officer. I'm sure it's not easy on them either, or the family members.
No, it causes a lot of problems there, because especially like holidays, when you want to be home with your family for Christmas and birthdays and things like that, and then you're not there, and then you miss out, especially raising kids.
Well, I bet.
You miss out them growing up, and then if they go into, you know, ball games or something like that, and they expect you to be in the stands, well, you can't. You're out there serving the public, trying to protect the people the best you can. So you lose a lot of that. That's the reason why I try to spend as much time with my family now, to try to make up for the time I wasn't there.
Well, Putnam, that's a very inspirational story. Thank you very much for sharing that, and all the best to you and your family. I hope your life continues to have richness. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. That's well said. Put a nice cap on this segment. We are going back to school in a minute. About ready, aren't you?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it is back to school time again. We've been doing this a lot as we continue. And Peter Routercuss joining us from the LSU Daily Rebel, the school paper down in Baton Rouge. Peter, thank you for joining us. We just heard from Brian Kelly. He's looking and sounding pretty fired up. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about camp so far. We've seen a major story already with Brennan. First of all, let's talk about that. What happened?
Yeah, for sure. So it was just the other day. As soon as we came in the media, we noticed that he wasn't out there. So at that point, you know, things were already kind of swirling, kind of what was going on. And then it came out just a little bit later, kind of after practice, that, you know, he had just decided to step away from football. You know, it wasn't a transfer or anything. He just decided that it was his time to, you know, kind of retire.
Peter, it's one thing for, you know, somebody my age to say that, but for Miles Brennan, I realize he's had a long career at LSU, a lot of ups and downs. But is there any do you think this is final? Do you think he can be tempted to do something else, or what is your best judgment?
Yeah, to me, it seems like it's final. Just from what I've seen, you know, he's been in college for 6 years. You know, he's gone through so much. He just had so much kind of bad luck, bad breaks, that I think at this point, you know, he was just kind of ready to move on with his life. So, you know, obviously, you know, for specifics on what he wanted to do, I guess that's something you kind of would have to ask him. But it seems like he's just ready to kind of move on with his life. So that's, you know, kind of what I've gotten from that situation.
Peter, which it begs the obvious question, which I'm sure has been asked, and maybe you can help us understand. What is the quarterback depth chart look like right now, as best you can tell?
Yeah, so now it's really come down to a two-man battle between Garrett Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels. And it's really been back and forth to this point. They had not announced a starter. You know, it's still both of them are kind of fighting, battling it out in practice. So it's between those two. But you've also got freshman Walker Howard, who was a highly touted recruit coming out of high school last year. So they expect him to redshirt. They don't expect him to play this year. But so it's going to come down to Garrett Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels. That's kind of what they're trying to decide, you know, in the next couple of weeks of fall camp.
Peter, we're now moving toward the season. Of course, LSU starts on that Sunday night against Florida State. But you can't get away from Brian Kelly. He has really been the story since he made that dramatic move from Notre Dame. What's it like for you as a young student reporter to cover one of the biggest names in the industry?
Yeah, it's definitely been, I mean, you know, just for me personally, been a cool experience, just being around the process, you know, bringing in a new coach, going around all that. And obviously, I mean, he's been one of the biggest stories of college football since he's been here. All the questions about fit, him coming from Notre Dame to LSU, him, you know, already being as successful as he was at Notre Dame. I mean, it's rare that you see a coach of that big of a name going somewhere new, especially at this stage in his career. So it's certainly been a huge story that, you know, we've been covering ever since December now.
I mean, it would be too easy to ask how different things are between the current state and what it was like under Coach O, but you know, being around there and talking to your colleagues, what would you say is the biggest change in terms of how this camp is being operated?
Organization has kind of been Brian Kelly's whole big thing, kind of starting all the way back in the spring. It's been very much about organization all the way down to, you know, passing out credentials to the media members. Everything has been in a system. It's all process oriented, and it's just all been about organization and keeping things tight, knowing the right way to do things. You know, one of the big things he talked about during spring was before we could get into actually practicing, he was saying, you know, we need to teach guys how to practice the right way. So that was kind of the focus during spring. So for him, it was like, you get that down, now we can prepare ourselves to win in the fall.
Peter, let me ask you about yourself a little bit, because we're trying to learn about the young student journalists and broadcasters of the future. Tell us about your background and what you hope to do with your rather unique college experience.
Yeah, so I'm going into my third year of college and my third year with the Reveille. I started at the Reveille in the second semester of my freshman year, which was spring 2021. I started off just kind of in the stringer position. I got hired kind of late in the semester, not late in the semester, but not right at the beginning. And then last fall, I became a reporter. And then last semester, I was a deputy editor of the sports section. And then our sports editor graduated. So now I've been blessed to be in the position of a sports editor going into my junior year. And I mean, it's been great so far. It's just been great for anyone who's trying to get into this field, you know, being involved with student media, especially here at the Reveille. I think it's a great experience for anyone. Definitely has been for me.
Peter, I know, having lived down there briefly, that's a really outstanding journalism and communication school. What ultimately, if you know yet, would you like to do with your education?
Yeah, so I mean, anything where I can be around sports and be around media is my dream. I've really come to love, I mean, I've always have love, but I've really come to love college football even more since I've been around it. So I want to keep, I want to stay around college football. I want to maybe even move into a more national role one day, covering college football, covering college sports. So that's kind of my dream. You know, that's what I've been doing right now, and I love it. So that's just, you know, kind of what I want to keep doing, just getting bigger and bigger with it.
Well, you're certainly in the right place. Peter, before you go, we're asking all of our student friends, because you have great access to the players and to the university, what your impressions are and how you think this season is going to go for LSU.
Yeah, so it's kind of a transition year for LSU, obviously, anytime you get a new coach. But, you know, it's going into a whole new kind of way of life for the program and LSU, in a sense, with Brian Kelly. It's completely different. You've got a whole new coaching staff. You've got all these new players coming up from the transfer portal. So it's kind of one of those things where you don't really know how it'll all work until they get out on the field. I think this team is talented, though. You've got some good transfers. You know, you've got guys like Jaden Daniels coming in. You've got other very experienced guys. Derek Bernard Converse is a great example at corner. You've got some talented guys. You've got some experience. So I think record-wise, I think the floor for this team is 6-6. And I don't think they'll necessarily be a team that competes for championships in year one with Brian Kelly. But I think a good year for them would be around the 8-4, 9-3 range. And I think that's very possible for this team this year. You know, you look at the wide receiver room and the defensive line is the two big things that I think are game-changing for this team in any game. You've got real NFL talent all across the board at those positions, and I think that'll be big for them year one under Brian Kelly.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for joining us. You did an outstanding job, and we hope to meet you and get to visit with you more throughout the fall. You be well.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. It was our pleasure. We've now checked in on LSU, and later on we will go to Lexington, where there's been a little bit of news lately, and we'll give you the latest on that as we continue our back-to-school presentation. We will get back to the phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back, and we appreciate you all being here on a very busy afternoon. DW is in Indiana. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I really like that soundtrack there. I'm living the good life. I'm walking down an old country road here. Got 1.7 miles in. I've seen one car. So
I like that. Where exactly are you? I may move up there.
We're in Harrison County, Indiana. We're not far from Louisville. But I wanted to, I told your gentleman who took my call that you were taking me down memory lane. As I walked down this road here, well, I could hear Bob Hope singing, Thanks for the Memory. I know you remember
Oh, sure.
The old Christmas specials. when he would have the All-American team.
Oh, that was a big deal.
And then at the end of, at the end of the show, he'd sing "Thanks for the Memories." And you've given me that today, and I thank you. And let me explain. We get our television from Louisville, and I think Louisville was probably the northernmost market of Mid-South wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that.
Oh, I remember that well. I mean, any kid growing up in the South knew what you were talking about.
Okay. Well, I feel like I have heard the promos leading up for wrestling at the Gardens today. You know, where the guy says, "Be at the Gardens, Daddy. Loser leave town," and all that kind of good stuff. Love it, Paul. You never know what you're going to find when you listen to Paul Feinbaum.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, DW. I'll give you a chance to catch your breath for a second. We catch a lot of heat for what we do here, but to me, this show, the reason why this show exists and was originally put here as the first show that was hired for the SEC Network was because of the passion of the fans. And it may not always please people, but we try to make it real. We try to make this is how fans act and react to whatever is going on. It maybe not to this extreme, but probably more accurate than people want to make it believe. So I'm glad you said that, and I believe very strongly in the format. Yeah, we talk to guests. We do whatever any other show does that's on for as long as we are. But I've always argued the most important thing are the fans of the SEC and of college sports.
Well, keep it real. I'm going to root for my Rebels, and I'm going to root for my Hoosiers.
Well, I don't blame you. Hey, thank you very much, DW. You have a good walk, and enjoy it. And talking about a guy that probably needs a walk or needs to walk is the next caller. Come on down, Mr. Larry.
Hey, what's up, Feinbaum?
Larry, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I heard that guy on about police work, you know, yeah. Vietnam helped me a lot when I got in it, but when I was a policeman, I had my wife work intensive care ICU at Children's Hospital, and then my job ended up costing me a divorce, you know, and you think about suicide, I was going to drop the hammer a couple of times, you know, because depression and get depressed and you know, it's just law enforcement's a tough job, son. You see people that get injured or killed that are kids, and just like she dealt with kids that were injured or killed. You know, you go through all that, and then you get in your own turmoil with your life and your marriage, and it comes apart. And then here you are trying to deal with somebody else's fault. But it was tough, and like I said, my heart's out these law enforcement, man. That suicide rate's up big time. People don't realize the pressure you get under, you know, and every day trying to do something good for somebody, you know. And it's tough. It's just like you know, you get up every morning, then you come do this show, and then you try to deal with your life problems yourself, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, to me, Larry, and I've met you a few times, and you may have heard me say this to you, but this show, to me, is the escape. I really, I try to block everything out when I get in here, and it doesn't always work, but, no. I mean, I don't want to bring my problems to work. I think too often some people do, but I'm interested in something you said, though, because everybody has pressure in different ways, but you didn't handle it very well. What did you learn from that?
Well, one thing you learn is you suck it up, you know, and quit being, you know, don't pity yourself, you know, and get out of it. I went through some tough freaking times, man. I mean, you can imagine I had a nice house on a golf course. The next thing, I'm in a one-bedroom apartment, you know, divorced. And so, yeah, you learn to suck it up. And like I said, man, if you don't get tough, you end up dropping a hammer on your ass.
Well, I would think not to alibi you what happened, but I mean your wife was also dealing with enormous pressure.
Yeah, she was, and they put me on 3-11, and I begged them not to. I was going through that divorce, man, and I had some people in the high-ups just wanting to screw me over. And they did. They put me on 3-11. Well, she worked day shift, man. How did that help me in my turmoil in marriage? It didn't. It put more pressure on us because we saw each other less, and it didn't cause a lot of friction between us. But you think that they cared? No. Hell no. They didn't care.
Why'd they do it?
And then,
why did they do it then?
Well, you don't know. People get so jealous of some people. I was doing a good job in law enforcement, make a lot of felony arrests on night shift, and I love night shift, but no, put me 3-11, you know, and that's the worst. All you do is school traffic and run and get the prisoners dinner, you know, and they knew my marriage, that would not work, me going through a divorce. And they knew that. Then I totaled out a police car and screwed my back up, and I end up disability. And all that piles up on you, man. But you need somebody to say, hey, we with you, man. But I didn't get that. And so you do. You go through a lot of times. You sit and look at that 357, and you think to yourself, hey, this could be my way out.
Well, Larry, I'm really glad everything worked out for you. You're a beacon of hope for all of us. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.